This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
And let me also reiterate thanks to all those who came and made Vacation Bible School a success. A lot of work goes into Bible school. Excuse me. A lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of treasure, a lot of effort. And every once in a while, I'll have somebody ask me from the outside, they say, why do you go to so much trouble? Why do you work so hard at such a thing? Well, the obvious reason to the believer is this, that we can give the gospel and bring people to Christ, bring children to Christ. But it seems like it's also something different as well, at least here at West Concord. You know, oftentimes we think of service to God as church work. You ever heard anybody mention church work? Oh, that's church work. Being a deacon, that's church work. Teaching Sunday school, working in the nursery. VBS, that's church work. Let me tell you what it really is. It's the family business. It's the family business. In Romans, we've been looking at the doctrine of God for the church. That's what God did. He inspired Paul to sit down and pen a letter primarily to the church at Rome, but secondarily to us, so that we might understand the basic doctrines of God, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of sanctification, and then, as we'll see at the end of Romans, the doctrine of service. We're now dealing with sanctification. And again, that's just a big word, which means living a life set apart for God. As believers, we're too sinful to save ourselves. We saw that in chapters 1 through 3. Because we're too sinful to save ourselves, God clothed himself in flesh. Christ left heaven, came to earth, died for us. And by dying on the cross, he took the blame for all of our sin. We saw in chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what he brought, salvation. It's a gift. We're too sinful to earn it or merit it. He died and gives it to us as a gift when we trust him. We're saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith. And as such, we now should have a new focus in life. Called sanctification, or living a life of holiness. It's not just church work. It's not just what we do. Sanctification, living a life of holiness, is basically, it ought to be, as believers, who we are. We've talked about the fact that we've been set free from the dominance and control of sin now. Yes, we're still living in these sinful bodies. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we sin. Yes, we make mistakes. He's given us an avenue to get cleansing and forgiveness. He says in 1 John, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. Yes. But he's given us his Spirit. The Spirit of God has come to indwell in us. He did the moment you got saved. And now we are empowered, enabled, gifted, as it were, to live a life of surrender, sacrifice, sanctification, and holiness, which is what we should be doing. And it's not just about doing church work or doing religious stuff. It's basically living out as believers who we are now. Who we are now. And you say, Pastor, who are we now? What does that mean? Well, as Paul is going to share with us this morning, we now are the children of God. You say, wait a minute, but aren't all people God's children? All people are God's creation. But when you received Christ as your Savior, you became a son or daughter of God. You became part of God's family. So sanctification, or living a holy life, it's not just doing church work or religious stuff like VBS, like Sunday school, like worship, like student ministry, children's ministry. It's all the family business because we are also God's children. As I said, God is our Father. This is what He would have us to do. I don't think we focus on that as much as we should. We are the members of God's family. We're going to unpack this as we move forward this morning. But if you're a believer, you are a prince and or princess of the Almighty God. Now, I don't say that for you to go put on airs or to think that you're better than anybody else, because you and I, we're not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even the man I look at in the mirror every day. We are no better or worse. But once we got saved, things changed. You became a child of God. You became a member of God's family. And that's important. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's not about, as a saved person, it's not about just doing religious stuff or church work. It's about living out the family business. Watchman Nee, who was a Chinese theologian, evangelist, teacher back in the 20th century, had a young man come to him once, and he was struggling with walking with the Lord. He was grieved. And he came to him and he said, "I just have a hard time walking with the Lord. I struggle, I fall. Maybe I'm not even saved." And so Watchman Nee sat him down and said this. He said, "Do you see this dog here?" He had his dog with him. "He is my dog. He is house trained, house broken. He never makes a mess. He is obedient. He is a pure delight to me." He said, "Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He is a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. My son is my heir. You are Jesus Christ's heir because it is for you that he died." Understand this. Yes, we all struggle. Serving God, walking with Him can be a challenge and difficult. But we, again, are sealed with God's Spirit. He dwells within us. We unpacked that last week in the first part of Romans 8. And I think we forget who and what we are as believers. And yes, even though we struggle, even though we stumble, if we know Christ, we are the children of God. And therefore, we should be about the family business. And what is the family business? Serving Him and walking with Him. Take your Bibles and join me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to pick it up this morning in verse 12. Earlier in chapter 8 and also chapter 7, Paul demonstrated what sanctification implied and what it involved. And the fact that the moment you got saved, God's Spirit came to dwell in you, and He's in you, and He's with you, and you're sealed, and He's never going to leave, empowering you, enabling you, equipping you to honor and serve Him. You and I are still in these broken, struggling, stammering bodies. And so therefore, if you haven't already experienced it, maybe you have, or you probably have. If you're honoring and serving God, you have as a believer. There's a conflict. The flesh wants to go left and the spirit wants to go right. We're just fighting all the time within ourselves. Paul even shared his own conflict. He said, "When I want to do right, I do wrong. When I try not to do wrong, you know, he just messes everything up," he said. He then said, "Who will remove me from this body of death?" And he went on to praise Christ who died for him and one day will redeem us and bring us home. Paul then went on to say that we should not any longer allow sin to have dominion over us. Because the Spirit of God dwells in us, we now have a choice. And the more we engage in God's word, the more we pray and engage with God, the stronger God's Spirit will grow within us. And so when that conflict does come, the voices, the temptations of the world draw us, we will be more stronger. We will be better able to say no. But another reason is we have an obligation to God, not to the flesh. I hear people say all the time, well, I couldn't help it. Yeah, you can if you're a believer. I did this and it wasn't my fault. Well, if it was your choice, it was your fault. Look what Paul says as we pick it up in verse 12 in chapter 8. Therefore, based on the fact that we've been redeemed, we've been filled with God's Spirit, sealed rather with God's Spirit, we now have the ability to say no to sin. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. All things flesh-oriented will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So here's the thing, our obligation to God, we don't have any obligation to this flesh. It's amazing how much of our time, efforts, and talents, and treasures we invest in our flesh to satisfy our flesh, to pamper our flesh, to glorify our flesh. And the reality is, one day this flesh is going to die. That's the truth. It's going to die. This is not going into heaven with me. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad. I looked at myself in the morning. I looked like Jake from State Farm after I got dressed today. But evidently, and I looked at my face, I said, the insurance business has been hard because look at that old dude standing there dressed. This is not going with me to heaven. I owe my flesh nothing. Because one day, it's going to drop. Through Christ, I'm going to rise. So everything done with the flesh, for the flesh, will also die. All the money spent, all the effort spent, all the things we've collected, going to be left behind. It's going to die. It's going to be separated from God. But all that's done for the Spirit will live on. As we follow God's Spirit, as we lean into God's Spirit, as we yield and surrender to God's Spirit through obedience to His Word, all those deeds, all those things will live on forever. I don't owe anything that is flesh, but we owe all to God. Flesh is death, but living with God in the Spirit is life. Life forever. Now, we don't get saved by doing or living a certain way. But once we are saved, those things, those choices, those directions we go as God's Spirit leads, the ramification of those, the reward of those will go on for eternity. For instance, we just had Vacation Bible School. It's a busy week. Everybody got done and we're all just standing there, tired, worn out. I wonder how many people went home Thursday night and just passed out. And people were calling up, oh, we need to come back and clean up the church. I thought it looked pretty good when I left. And it costs people money, it takes time, it's a lot of effort. But everything done for the sake of watching these young people and some adults and students come to know Christ has eternal merit. See, all of you who worked at VBS, all that time you spent, all the money you spent, it's been sent to heaven. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, God is not quick to forget your labor of love as you minister to Him and to others. Now, you could have gone on a vacation last week. You could have stayed home and puttered around the garden. You could have done all kinds of things. Nothing wrong with those things. But the garden will die. The car will die. The vacations come and go. But what you did last week will last for eternity. Our obligation to God is to follow Him, to live for Him as His children. It's the family business. Sanctification is a family thing. We owe nothing to the flesh, but we owe it all to God because He gave His life for us. We should honor Him with giving Him our life, not to be saved, but because we are. And what are we? He goes on to say in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now, it's interesting because I know, ladies, you're thinking about, well, what about the daughters of God? Well, you're in the mix as well, but the word son often used by Paul speaks more of just a familial relationship. He's not closing out daughters. Back in the day when Paul wrote this, in the first century AD, in just about every culture that existed then, but especially in Roman and Jewish culture, usually the firstborn son was the heir to whatever the family possessed. And that was a legal term, actually. Even oftentimes when there was no son and a daughter was going to inherit it, they would still use the term son, huios in the Greek. And that was a reference to the heir. Patriarchal, yes, but that's the facts of life. When God calls us men and women the son of God, sons of God rather, He's speaking of the fact that there is something coming. There is an inheritance. He later on refers to all of us as children of God, and we'll see that in just a moment. But He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," and if you're led by the Spirit of God, it implies that He's indwelling you and you're saved. "As many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" In other words, we have been adopted by faith in Christ into God's family by God the Father. Now, as I said earlier, all humans are God's creatures, God's creation. And according to Genesis chapter 1, all humans bear the image of God. And we're not going to try to unpack that statement this morning, but basically we are God's pinnacle of creation. We bear His image. But here's the reality. Not all humans are children of God. I know we like to think, well, everybody's a child of God. That sounds good, but it's not true. Creations of God, yes. Image bearers, yes. But you and I do not become children of God until we are born again into His family. There has to be a new birth. Why? Because all humanity is in rebellion and has been broken in sin because of Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, when Eve sinned, humanity, they were broken. The tie broke. The relationship with God broke. And it is necessary for there to be a now new birth. So all people, yes, are God's creatures, God's creatures, God's creation. But the only ones who have the authority to call themselves children of God are believers. Matter of fact, it says as much in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John said, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the authority to become children of God, to those who believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So just because you were born doesn't make you a child of God. You have to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the will of God through faith in Christ. So the reality is this: we have an obligation as believers, as God's children, to to honor God and to set our lives aside for Him. We owe nothing to this flesh, but because Christ gave us His life, that should move us to give Him our lives, to do with whatever He chooses. Because think of it this way, you were in fact created by God, but you are also, if you know Christ, you are now bought and paid for by God through the blood of Christ on the cross. You now are His property even more so. It's not your life anymore, it's His. We have an obligation to the Spirit of God to walk in the Spirit, to be obedient to the Spirit. Because in just a short time, speaking, this is going to be gone. And the good news is we've been adopted by God the Father. He's adopted us. All humans are not God's children. All humans are God's creation. But all saved become God's children. Look at this last line in verse 15. If you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, you know, we talk about, oh, I got to serve God in order to get... No. Service to God for the believer should not be motivated by fear. It should be motivated by love and excitement. I get to serve God, not that I have to serve God. He says, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Look at this. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba there is an Aramaic derivative of a Hebrew word. As a matter of fact, Jewish children today, when they talk about their fathers or address their fathers, they use this word, Abba. It's equivalent to the English word, daddy. Daddy. The Greek word used for father in the New Testament is the Greek word pater, father. You know, I don't know about you, but I did not call my father when I was 4 years old. I was not that refined. Hello, father. Didn't work. He was dad, daddy. It was a more intimate title. And the Bible tells us here that as believers, literally He is our Father, but in a real sense He also becomes our dad, our daddy. Paul says the same thing in Galatians chapter 4. Chapter 4 verses 6 and 7, he says, because you are sons, there's that legal term, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are heir of God. You are an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Christianity is not about what you do. First of all, you can do nothing to be saved. Being saved depends upon what Christ has done for you. But once you know Christ, it's still not necessarily about what you do. It's who you are that counts. And my question to you is, do you see yourself as a son or a daughter of God? Or is God just something you do on your day off or when it's convenient? You know, it's amazing how we treat service to God today. We get our lives so full of our goals and our dreams, our leisure. We get ourselves so caught up in our workaholism, trying to make the money, trying to live the American dream, that we forget that our first and foremost focus should be on what God wants as His children. He is our Father. It's amazing we make time for service for God. Can you imagine that statement? I'll get there if I can. I'll come to church if I haven't got anything better to do. Can I tell you something, my dear brother and sister in Jesus Christ, if you know Him as your Savior, corporate worship, there is nothing better to do as a believer. Time on your knees in prayer to God. Oh, I'm a little busy. How do I do that? Listen, you make time. Because the reality is, you find time to do what you want to do, don't you? Sure. We find time to do what we want to do. Oh, I can't pray. Oh, pastor, what do I? You know, just get on your knees and pray. And you don't even have to pray on your knees. Just get somewhere where it's quiet. Take some time. Spend time with the Lord consistently. I don't have time. Make time. Make time. Because that's what's important. Oh, my goodness. You know, Bible study, man, that takes a lot of effort. I don't know if I can do. Listen, you're a child of God. This is a letter from your father. My dad spent 2 years in Vietnam when I was a little boy. And whenever he could, he would send letters and sometimes slides. We didn't have internet back then or anything like that. And I remember my mom would get slides and she went out and bought a slide projector of all things. And my dad would send letters, and me and my brother and sister and my mother, that was a thing. I had to tell my friends, look, my dad sent us mail. I got to go be with my family. I can't play right now. And we'd go in and we'd sit in the living room, and my mom would show the slides and read my dad's letter. That was a family thing. My friends are out there, hey, come on out, we're going to play. No, I got to go hear from my father. Let me tell you something, y'all. That Bible that you have on your device or in your lap, that is God's letter, the letter from your father to you. Amen. And do you know what he says to you in that letter? I love you. I want you to walk with me. I was so proud of my dad when I was growing up, still am. He passed away over 40 years ago. And one of the things I always took as a compliment is people said, oh, you look like your dad. Now, my dad was dark where I'm light, but we have the similar facial features. I got his picture in my office. I put it in a place in my office where he's kind of looking over my shoulder. And yet, he's dark, I'm light, but I always took it as a compliment when people say, you look like your father. You know what I want to do as a believer, and I struggle with it? I want to look like my father. Being Christ-like, walking with the Father. I want people to see me and to see Christ, not me. Even if I'm talking to a skeptic and they say, well, I don't believe what you're telling me, but you sure do believe it. That's something. We've been adopted by God. We have been made His children. The moment you got saved, passed from death into life, hell-bound, now heaven-bound, filled and sealed with God's Spirit, and now you are a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The question is, do we live that way? Can people see us and what we do, how we talk, how we treat one another, and say, that must be a child of God? So we've been adopted by God. We become sons and daughters. All humans are God's creation, but only the saved become God's children. And so we have an obligation to the Spirit of God to follow God's Spirit, yield to Him as He reveals truth in His Word, and as we seek Him in prayer consistently. We've been adopted by God the Father. See how God's triunity works here? We've been adopted by God the Father. That happened the minute you received Christ. You are now a child of God. And yes, literally, you are a prince or princess of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That carries weight. Not because you're something special, because you and I aren't, but because He is. And it is our obligation to follow His Spirit where He leads. And finally, our position with God. Our position with God, the Son. Look what he goes on to say as we wind it up. Verse 18. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, as we read His Word and as God's Spirit speaks to our spirit, we have assurance of our adoption. The more we take in God's Word, the more the Spirit opens it up. You know, when we sit down to study Scripture, we need to pray and ask God to open our eyes through His Spirit to illuminate us. We just finished VBS, Lit Up and Bright. Illumination Station was the theme. Well, one of the ministries of God's Spirit is to bring light, to illuminate. And as a believer, as a child of God, now he lives inside you. And as you open the scripture to read it, he supernaturally gives you more understanding of it through his Spirit. That's why people who aren't saved struggle to understand much of the Bible or much of what we do as Christians. Because later Paul says the natural man does not understand things of the Spirit. Natural person being somebody who's focused on the flesh and the world. And here's the thing, if we don't understand Scripture, it's not that Scripture's flawed or difficult. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to learn of Him. Here's a question. If God wants so desperately for us to know Him, why would He make the Bible so hard? He didn't. One of the reasons why people struggle with Bible study, it's not because they can't understand what the Bible says. It's because they don't like what it says. Instead of saying, I don't understand that, we read a passage and say, well, I can't believe it says that. God has given us His Spirit so He might illuminate our hearts and minds. And part of that is assuring us of our salvation, of our adoption. That's why he says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, look at this carefully. If it's your Bible, mark it. If it's not your Bible, mark it anyway. Somebody else will benefit from it. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? Do you know what that literally means? When you receive Christ as Savior, you became a son or daughter of God. God is your Father. The Bible tells us elsewhere in Scripture that Christ as God's Son will inherit everything God has. He is God in the flesh, God's Son. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. As a child of God through faith in Christ, you and I then become joint heirs with Jesus. You and I, as believers, one day will inherit the universe. The Bible says we will inherit this earth. We will rule and reign with Christ. I don't know if you've ever gotten an inheritance when somebody has died. It's exciting. Maybe a family member has passed, a parent, grandparent left you maybe some money or a house or something. You know, that's nice. That's great. We hate to see them pass away. But the reality, yes, and the reality is, as children of Almighty God, you might struggle financially on this planet. You might struggle to make ends meet. And ministry is costly. Ministry is tough. But at the end of the day, through Christ, with Christ, you will inherit the universe, the earth. Joint heirs. I didn't make this up. It says it right here. Read it again. And if children, and you are if you know Christ, then heirs. Heirs of God. Look how he's emphasizing it. And joint heirs with Christ. All that is Christ's become yours. It just blows me away. So here's the thing. We not only have assurance through Christ of our adoption through the Spirit, but we are God's heirs because of our adoption. That's something. And then finally, we shall share God's glory. Look what it says. As we finish out verse 17. If indeed we suffer with Him, and yes, walking with the Lord in this planet, walking with the Lord in this life, serving Him, giving to Him, living for Him can be difficult. VBS this week drained many of us. We didn't eat right. We didn't sleep right. We was tired, as we say. You know, we're in the South. We weren't just worn out. What were we? Slap worn out. All right? And it was tough. Service to God is hard. But God gets us through it and carries us with it through His Spirit. Because one day it'll all be worth it. Just think of those 15 decisions made at VBS. If those young people and those students did receive Christ as Savior,
Eternally worth it. Eternally worth it. The book of Daniel says, they that lead many to righteousness will shine as the brightness of the firmament forever. People talk about having their name in lights. Well, lights on this planet burn out. People get fickle and you get forgotten about. But the Bible says in Daniel, when you lead many to righteousness as a sanctified, saved believer, you will shine as the brightness of the firmament forever. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You remember the passage we read this morning in our reflection time? 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Go back and read that again when you get a chance. The Bible says, people ask me all the time, they say, Pastor, what are we going to look like in heaven? I hope to heaven I don't look like this. There's got to be an improvement. I don't know what we'll look like, but I do know in a general way, it says, we shall see him, Christ, as he is, and we will be like him. One of the descriptions of Christ in his glorified state, you can go home and read it in Revelation chapter 1. Or how about when the disciples saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was glorified? Yes, the Spirit of God gives us adoption. We're not servants of God, but we are brothers with Christ. We've been adopted, and we are joint heirs with Christ of all that God has. And one day we will be glorified with Christ. How's it being the family of God now? What do you think about being a child of God now? Let me ask you something. Does that knowledge cause you to perhaps look at your life and ask yourself, how am I living as a child of God? Can people see God in my life? Or am I ashamed of him every chance I get? So the reality is simple. We have an obligation as saved, sanctified believers, sealed with his Holy Spirit, we have an obligation to God the Spirit to follow him, to yield to him. Because we owe nothing to the flesh now. Flesh can't do anything, can't save us, can't help us. We owe it all to God. God spent the life of his Son for us. Now that we're saved and safe, we should spend our lives for him. Because we are also adopted by God the Father. All humans are creations of God, but as a believer, you're a child of God. And because we're children of God, we have a position with God the Son. We have assurance of our salvation and adoption through him. We are God's heirs, like Christ, through our adoption. And we will one day share God's glory. Again, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, the power, the right to be called the children of God, especially to those, specifically to those who believe on his name. Not because we are born of flesh and blood, but we are born again because of the will of God. So I leave you with this last thought from Dr. Warren Wiersbe, late Bible scholar, pastor, and commentator. He said, there is no need for the believer to be defeated. You know, we walk around like the world is caving in on us. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't. Listen, you're a child of God. Yes, the world is going to beat up on you. Your flesh is going to fail you. It's hard serving the Lord. It is, because we're going against the tide. But there's no need for the believer to be defeated. He can yield his body to the Spirit and by faith overcome his old nature or her old nature. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. The Spirit of life will empower him. And look at this next statement. The Spirit of death will enable him to overcome the flesh. What does he mean by that? Simply as we saw back in chapter 7. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead.
When we receive him as our Savior and we become saved, then we begin to walk with him. And he said we should reckon ourselves dead as well. Reckon our flesh as already dead. If we see our flesh as being temporary, natural, and dead, then what are we going to do? We're going to focus on the Spirit. And we're going to focus on life. Because one day this flesh is going to die. The Spirit of life will empower him, and the Spirit of death will enable him to overcome the flesh. Because do you do things for dead bodies? I don't see anybody taking a lunch to the cemetery for somebody. They don't back U-Hauls up to the cemetery. The Spirit of death will enable him to overcome the flesh, and the Spirit of adoption will enrich him and lead him into the will of God. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory, cannot save ourselves. But Jesus came to do for us what we could not do, pay our sin debt by his death. He was buried and rose again from the dead to prove he had victory over death and power over life. And when we come to him broken, sinful, you know, I hear people say all the time, you got to turn from sin to be saved. A, until you are saved, you really can't turn from sin. And B, turning from sin has never saved anybody. We come to him as sinners, muddy, broken, bleeding, confused. And salvation comes when we cast our faith on him who died and paid our sin debt for us. We cast our faith in him and we believe and God saves us. And part of being saved, yes, we get a home in heaven, but God's Spirit comes to indwell in us and we're sealed with him. He never leaves. And we become adopted into God's family. You are a child of God if you're a believer. Are you living that way? Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Taking a quiet moment to ignore the distractions of the world, set those worries and deadlines and meetings aside for a minute, and now it's between you and God. Not you and me, you and God. I'm just here the facilitator. First and foremost, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted him and only him to take you to heaven? Do you know that if, God forbid, but do you know that if you were to die today, you would go immediately to be with him in glory? Oh, Pastor, we can't know it. Yes, you can. Because that's what Jesus did. He died to take the blame for your sin, past, present, and future. Paid for them on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead. You don't have to learn. You just need to come to him broken, with an empty bucket and just your faith, and fall upon your Savior and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. We all are. And God, I can't save myself, but the best I know how, I'm casting my full faith and hope in Jesus as my Savior to take me to heaven one day. I believe that he died for me. He was buried and rose again from the dead. You can use words of mine, you can use words of your own, but take this moment to trust him and only him. And if you do that, God will save you right now. You don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to do, you just trust him. Then after you've trusted him, those of you who already know him, so many things are descriptive of your life, spiritually speaking. You're saved. You're heaven bound. You've been redeemed, set free, liberated. Adopted into God's forever family. Sanctification, holiness, living and working for the Lord is not church work. Sanctification is a family thing. You serve your father. You honor your father as his child, as his prince, as his princess. You seek out his face and you seek to follow his Spirit through Bible study and prayer. You go where he says go. You do what he says do, no matter the inconvenience, no matter the hardship, no matter the loss, because our earthly loss can amount to heaven's gain. A lot of people lost a lot of time this week.
A lot of people gave up a lot of money, a lot of free time, their achy joints, tired bodies. But we know of 15 decisions made for Christ. What a glory that is. And life should be that way. You're adopted as a believer, a child of God. God is challenging us through His Word as believers to live as grateful, humbled children of God, and to take that message out and to honor Him with our walk. Father, Lord God, we thank You. We thank You for dying in the body of Christ. You came and You experienced death on our behalf. And Father, You rose again from the dead 3 days later and give salvation to all who would seek You by faith. And Father, as we receive that salvation, You then come to live in us, dwell in us, provide us light, life, comfort when we're troubled, courage when we're fearful, and push us when we're lazy. But at the end of the day, Father, You are truly our Father now. We become Your children, joint heirs with Christ. Father, may we show the world our family traits. May we lead people to say, I can see Your Father in you. Help us, Lord. Thank You for those who did that this week at Bible school. And may we continue to do that at school, at work, at home, giving You the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you all for being here so much.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.